Good morning. Our Bible lesson today is from Acts chapter 11, verses 1 through 18. It's in the Pew Bible on page 122 of the New Testament. And in the large print Bible, it's on page 158 of the New Testament. Hear these words. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from the heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-legged footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled up again back to heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were." "The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Then if God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now if you turn in your hymnal to page 861 for the responsive reading of Psalm 148, it continues over to page 862. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise the Lord in the heights. Praise the Lord, all his angels. Praise the Lord, all his hosts. Praise the Lord, sun and moon. Praise the Lord, all shining stars. Praise the Lord, highest heavens, and all waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, who commanded and they were created, who established them forever and ever, and fix their bounds which cannot be passed. Praise the Lord from the earth, sea monsters and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and smoke, stormy wind fulfilling God's commandment, mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creepy things and flying birds, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all the rulers of the earth, young men and maidens together, old men and children. Let them praise the name of our Lord, whose name alone is exalted, whose glory is above earth and heaven. God has raised up a horn for his people, praise for all his faithful ones, for the people of Israel who are near their God. Praise the Lord.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. It can be found on page 244 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, and on page 315 in the large print Bible. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let's turn now to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to John. John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. You can find it in your pew Bible on page 102 in the New Testament, and in the large print Bible on page 132. Now, if it seems like it was just a few weeks ago that we heard this scripture passage, it's because it was just a few weeks ago that we heard this scripture passage. This, you will recognize, came from the Maundy Thursday service, the Last Supper, when Jesus was speaking to his apostles gathered around the table. So hear these words. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, it happens often to me, and it happened again this week, as I was studying and pondering these scripture lessons, a specific line or an idea sticks in my mind and it won't leave my thoughts. It feels like when you get a song in your head and it won't go away. I guarantee you've had that experience. What do they call that? A mind worm? Is that what that's called? Well, I had a worm. And this week, a question that Peter asked in the reading from Acts that Bill read, Peter's statement kept me thinking when he asked, "If then God gave them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" And the more I thought about this, the more focused it became. Who was I that I could hinder God? Well, many years ago when I was a park ranger, I realized an important truth. Visitors didn't come to the Grand Canyon to see me.
Yeah, it was a mind blower to me too. They came to see the Grand Canyon and to have a wilderness experience. People from Germany didn't come to Everglades National Park to see me. They came to see the Everglades and to have an experience with wading birds and alligators and that river of grass. The very best that I could do was to help facilitate this direct experience and then get out of the way. I liken it to holding up a mirror. I would explain a few things about the Grand Canyon. I would hold that mirror so it focused their attention on a particular image or a particular aspect of that gorge, in the hopes that they would then go off and have a direct experience with the Grand Canyon, a personal experience. And now I believe that this truth is equally valid in my calling into the ministry. People don't come to church to hear me preach. They come to have an experience with the living God. You shouldn't attend worship service because you want to hear my explanations of Scripture, but rather so that you can have a direct experience of the Holy Spirit. Just like a park ranger, the very best that I can do as a pastor is to help facilitate this direct experience and then get out of the way. Who am I that I could hinder God? Well, especially on Sundays when we celebrate God's sacraments, like today, when we will celebrate the holy baptism of Earl Morgan, I don't want to hinder God or get in the way of you having a direct experience of the Holy Spirit. And to that end, today I want simply to call your attention to 3 points, and then I'll get out of the way. The first one is the same idea that Peter was trying to explain when he described his vision of the large sheet with all the animals coming down from heaven. Did you catch that that was what was on the front of your bulletin? Either that or it's a very bad nightmare. But that's one artist's vision of what Peter saw. But that leads me to ask you, how often do we decide how God ought to respond? How often are you absolutely sure of who God loves or who God has chosen to be worthy of God's grace? How often have you judged another person? If then God gave them the same gift that He gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God? The second point comes from John's amazing vision of God's plan for the end of time from Revelation that Daniel read this morning. John finds himself looking at a new heaven and a new earth and the new Jerusalem again coming down from heaven. He realizes that ultimately God will make God's home right here on this earth with us. And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Well, I read this idea in a commentary this week, and I want you to think about this statement. God doesn't make all new things. God makes all things new. Let me say that again. God doesn't make all new things. God makes all things new. When Earl decided and he finally told me that it was time that he was baptized, God didn't start from scratch. But rather, God is working to transform Earl into a new man, a new disciple of Jesus Christ. And God's grace works in exactly the same way for you. God doesn't make all new things. God makes all things new. The Lord is working to transform you into a new person, a new disciple of Jesus Christ. Well, finally, my third point is the one that Jesus made to his disciples at the Last Supper. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. Because by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Remember that Jesus made this commandment between two actions. Just before he said this, he had washed the disciples' feet. And just after he had said this, a few hours later, he was arrested in the garden and soon was crucified and died in order to forever destroy the power of sin and death for all people, including you and me. Jesus is reminding Earl, and he's reminding all of us, that we ought to love one another in these dimensions. We should serve other people literally and directly. And we must be ready to lay down our very lives for those whom we love, just as Jesus did and as Jesus does. I give you a new commandment, like that you should love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Okay, now let me get out of the way. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us and fire us up. Amen.